Spring into big savings on all Larson storm doors now at Menards. Larson doors are perfect to enjoy the fresh spring air. Whether you're looking for additional security or a screen door, we have what you need. They come in over 40 styles and 9 colors to choose from. Check out all Larson storm door options in store and find more great deals in our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time!
The best there is, best there was, and the best there ever will be! And you know it!
With a tear in my eye!
The queen of the crop, acknowledge me!
Episode 384 of Top Rope Nation, a Sunday morning. The guys are all here. It's Justin Joint back on the flagship for the first time in 4 weeks. Justin, welcome back, my friend.
That can't be. That's too long ago.
Somehow it has been 4 weeks, although you were on Classics the other night for our patrons and WWF Backlash 2000 TRN Classics. That did just drop for our YouTube members and Patreon supporters. So they heard you there, but first time since the WrestleMania Night One review that you've been on the flagship.
Yeah, let's not have this much of a delay again. That's too long.
And let's not talk about what's been going on in your world and why you've been off, because stressful stuff. A lot of issues.
Life comes at you hard and then it doesn't stop.
Right. Jesse has repping the Samoa Joe t-shirt. I love it. He's got his Minnesota hat on. We're all cheering on the T-Wolves here on their march to the NBA Finals. Jesse, how are you doing?
Whew, what a tumultuous week. A lot of ups and a little bit of a down. Yeah, man, the Timberwolves are the it factor here in the Twin Cities. You can't go anywhere with a square inch without saying, hey, you're seeing hats, shirts, bumper stickers, flags, Nas Reed paintings in yards. It's phenomenal.
That's awesome. Man, it is crazy because I feel we talk about this almost every spring. I got a chance to hang out with our friend Justin Joint here last night. We had a great time at a local brewery getting some beers, some good food, good chat. And we talked about how every spring it seems like we get into this funk where our attention is pulled away from pro wrestling. You know, it's like the NBA playoffs, hockey playoffs are going on, you know, television seasons are wrapping up and they're getting really good. Like there's always stuff to really kind of pull you away from wrestling. And I like some of the stuff going on right now as we're going to get into, but it's also been, I don't know how you guys have felt. It's been hard to watch lately because I just feel like I have so many things to watch and I almost have to like force myself to sit down to watch wrestling.
No, Frank, we are not friends anymore. You with the all-time reverse jinx.
Yeah.
Prick.
Frank Bettiani and these New York Knicks have screwed over the Boston Celtics and Justin Joint.
Yeah, I mean, that goes directly to your point, you know, the NBA playoffs, like you just said. And even small stuff like the NFL draft and like looking at how our teams are shaping up and whatnot. But yeah, Celtics, fuck.
Jesse, would you agree? I mean, obviously, you've had some reasons to be interested in the sports scene. I mean, the Twins, too, have been hot lately.
13 games in a row. So I want them to hit 15. So that'll be a repeat of 1991. I remember what happened in 1991. That's the last time a pro sports team from the male side has won a title here. So, yes.
Well, let's get a Minnesota Twins-Chicago Cubs World Series. What do you think about that?
Oh, that'd be sweet. That would be sweet.
That'd be
Justin, you might want to close your ears. I hate to say this, but I think the NBA, Adam Silver, they want a Knicks-Timberwolves NBA Finals for ratings purposes and the storylines that come along with it.
Yeah, I don't doubt that. I mean, anytime that your team can celebrate getting to the Eastern Conference Finals as if they just won an NBA championship, you know, you got to push that team all the way to the top. Why not? Bunch of nerds.
Are you telling me they don't want the Indiana Pacers there? I guess the Indiana side would be that they could get Caitlin Clark in the stands and show her constantly to draw in some viewers.
I mean, that kind of pales in comparison of having the Knicks in the finals. But yeah, I'm not a Pacers fan. I've always disliked that team.
Yeah.
I think they're better than the Knicks. They are on fire right now. They're basically doing on the east side what Minnesota's doing on the west mm-hmm. side. So to answer your question, Ryan, I have been heavily distracted by playoff stuff. I've actually been putting in probably 7 more hours a week in my shoot job, which has kept me away from recording and watching ECW 1995. It's just been a bananas last couple of weeks.
Yeah. Carl in the chat saying it's a reverse situation over here in, for the Brits because football, soccer is winding down. No international tournaments this year. We can get focused on our wrestling. And they're going to have some wrestling to look forward to once we get to Forbidden Door over there. And I think some of the talk we're going to have about the Owen Hart tournament and who could prevail there and All In here later in the show is going to maybe center around the direction of Forbidden Door over in the UK later in August and the different directions they could possibly take with the AEW title picture. So we're going to get to that. We're going to get to WWE Saturday Night's main event because we got both shows next weekend. Saturday Night's main event on Saturday, AEW Double or Nothing the very next night. Of course, I can't imagine that was scheduled intentionally by WWE, but they're the same weekend. And so we're going to preview both of them. If you're here with us live, we'd really, really appreciate it, guys. If you hit that like button on YouTube, that would help us out. So make sure you subscribe to the channel. Bell notifications on. So anytime we go live, you get a notification in your email and you don't miss a live show. If you're on the podcast feed, our numbers have been improving quite a bit the last couple of weeks. So if you're a new listener, maybe we reached you through our TikTok account. Thanks for tuning in. Make sure you guys are subscribed wherever you're getting your podcasts. Of course, you can leave us a 5-star review there as well. Written reviews on Apple help out a lot. Also, and the number one way to support Top Rope Nation, I mentioned it earlier, is by joining our Patreon page. You see the names of our Patreon supporters right now. You get your name on that scroll every single show that we do by signing up to become a patron. Almost 200 bonus podcasts in the archives right now. The minute you sign up, you can get a 7-day free trial and get full access and see what it's all about over there. As I said, we just dropped a review of WWF Backlash 2000 that was a ton of fun. I'm sure you would enjoy it.
Which also reminds me, last Monday, I started going live on TikTok with the Top Rope Nation account. That's going to be a weekly thing moving forward. Might not happen on Memorial Day. Actually, it might. I might do like a lead-in into our flagship for the review. Twinkle, the answer is F, no. Vince McMahon is not returning to WWE. Please go away.
This guy's blowing up our chat room right now. Wondering about Vince McMahon. My God. Well, let's start on the WWE side, you guys. I think that'll be our place to start. So Saturday night's main event, NBC and Peacock next Saturday night. The headline match is Jey Uso defending the World Heavyweight Championship against Logan Paul. We've got a tag team match of Sami Zayn and CM Punk taking on Seth Rollins and Braun Breaker. We got Drew McIntyre and Damian Priest in a steel cage match. And for some reason, John Cena is wrestling R-Truth. I mean, I know they've been building, like, it makes sense in the storyline based on what's happened, but why would you waste one of John Cena's final matches on a guy who's been a comedy character for over a decade? I mean, I don't understand it, Jesse. I don't understand it at all.
Neither do I. Usually come prepared with numbers. Maybe I'll do it when Justin's talking, but I was curious as to the last time R-Truth has won a singles match. Because this is something WWE absolutely loves to do. It's the equivalent, in a way, to Jeff Jarrett or Dustin Rhodes right now getting an AEW World Championship match on a humongous Dynamite or a Collision, one of the two. There doesn't serve the purpose. And the rest of the card, I like the tag match. I think that's going to be a fun one. The steel cage, I actually like a lot, too. Mm-hmm. With Drew McIntyre and Damian Priest, I think they've had a pretty solid feud with WrestleMania than their occurrence as well at Backlash. So No, I mean, Cena's just, this is extremely boring to me. This whole thing, as soon as he turned heel, and now is just recycle, old opponents, retro, got another, what, six and a half months left to go of this?
Yeah,
this needs to chill.
Here's the answer on the singles matches. I just looked it up. So his last singles match on TV was February 14th on SmackDown, which was a loss to Carmelo Hayes. He did actually defeat Ludwig Kaiser on an edition of Main Event back on January 27th. I'm not sure that really counts. Who watches Main Event? So the last time he actually had a televised win would have been December 2nd last year on Raw over Pete Dunne.
Ooh.
Not a lot of singles matches, though.
I'm willing to bet Twinkle watches Main Event.
Yeah, he might. He might. Twinkle's the man in our chat right now, wondering about Vince McMahon, for those of you at home. So, yeah, I mean, I think the rest of the card is pretty strong, too. I totally agree with you. I think overall, it's a strong card that I think is going to have some interesting storyline implications as we get down to it. You know, I think the big question here is, does Sami Zayn turn on Punk and join Seth Rollins' group and go heel? I think that seems like the likeliest scenario. Justin, you think Sami Zayn should go heel?
No, I don't. That feels like too much of a retread of his bloodline storyline. I don't think he needs to jump into another faction. And I've heard you guys talk about this new Seth Rollins faction before, and I agree with you that I think they should keep it small. I wouldn't add anybody unless it makes total sense. And to me, Sami Zayn joining them doesn't make any sense. I don't feel like he fits in with those two guys. So I would not do that. The only thing I hope from that tag team match is that it sets up CM Punk's match for Night of Champions, because that's all I really want to see is him on the Saudi card.
Just to bring that, him being hypocritical full circle.
Oh, and real quick, going back to R-Truth, is this like the first time ever that WWE has factored in somebody's wins and loss record into the fact that this is looks to be a non-title match, that they're not giving R-Truth the title? I mean, obviously they're not going to give him the title, but the fact that it's non-title.
Yeah, it could be. Not that I can recall. Jesse?
That's a great question. I have no idea. Maybe it's a world title eliminator. They're trying to follow suit in another promotion. I have no idea.
And that's I'm just completely basing that on the matches listed on Wikipedia right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. It seems to me like it's going to happen. I don't know. But it feels like an obvious WWE booking decision where they would turn Sammy heel. It's just kind of how they do things here and try to swerve the audience, you know, and then that gives Punk perhaps a new feud, because like how many times are we going to see Punk and Seth Rollins wrestle? You know, like I guess they could keep that going, but I don't know. We'll see.
The feud's been going since he came back to the promotion in December of 23.
Yeah.
Injuries, unfortunate enough to stall it.
Hey, to Carl's point on here, Ryan, if you could throw that up about Braun's eventual turn on Seth and Mania title win next April, do you think that should be the final destination for next year's WrestleMania? Is maybe like a spiritual sequel to WrestleMania 20, where you crown Braun and Jacob Fatu on that show? Because that was my first thought when I read his comments, like, well, yeah, Braun, that makes sense. But it's like, well, gosh, it sure feels like Jacob is the one who actually has the momentum.
Gosh, yeah. That would be such a fresh look and much needed. I think it's a matter now of the crowd response for both men over the course of the next 10 months. You have to get their characters elevated to what their in-ring work is showing right now, because both these guys, I like them a lot. This could be, you mentioned WrestleMania 20, it could also be possibly Cena Batista from 2005.
Oh, yeah, yep.
Yeah, it's interesting because they're on kind of separate trajectories. You know, like you put Braun in this group with Seth and Heyman to try to elevate him more versus Jacob Fatu, who has just like outgrown the group he's with, right? Like he needs to just kind of separate from Solo Sikoa. And I mean, they're continuing to build that heat between them where that's going to happen eventually. But he's like a guy you can tell can succeed at the top of the card on his own versus Braun, you're not so sure yet. You know, you see the potential in him, and that could be coming long term. I mean, I kind of like the idea. I think for sure with Jacob, it's there. Like right now, I could say, yeah, I think he's probably worthy of headlining Mania next year. Braun, I'm not so sure yet, but this is the kind of thing that could elevate him in the same way that, you know, Batista was elevated so many years ago. So I like that idea from Carl for sure. What did John say? Just realized Jesse's wearing a Samoa Joe tap. Oh, it was mirrored. Okay. He's got a set of, had to read it backwards.
John, I was doing the same thing. I couldn't make heads or tails of it.
I do like the shirt, Jesse. That's a cool shirt.
It's one of my favorites.
It's not as cool as the Top Rope Nation shirt, but it's pretty cool.
You're getting zero arguments from me there.
All right. So, I mean, I don't think anybody thinks Logan Paul is going to beat Jey Uso for the world championship. Where are we at on this match, Jesse?
I think what this sets up is the rematch, Jey Uso Gunther, which they announced on Raw. It'll be a June the 9th, I believe they said Phoenix, Arizona. I remember seeing the promo, right? I'm very fearful of what this leads to for SummerSlam's purposes. This could lead to a Gunther, speaking of Braun Breaker, almost a mirror image, Bill Goldberg retirement match that I don't want.
No. You know, I don't want it.
I think it's coming,
but it's definitely coming. I mean, they've confirmed that he's training, and he said that Hunter like pitched him the idea. So thanks a lot, Hunter, for that. We are going to get Goldberg back. Yeah.
2025 is going down the way of nostalgia lane again. It's pissing me off. Go ahead, Justin.
Sorry, I stepped away to refill my cup of coffee. Do we have any clue as to who Goldberg might be facing for his retirement match? I missed that part. Apologies.
Yeah, Gunther.
Looks like. Hopefully Gunther smokes him.
Less than 5 minutes for sure. Yeah, I mean, Logan Paul, I'm just looking at his match history. I mean, he's basically sticking to this wrestling once a month deal. You know, his last match was the win over AJ at Mania. He was in the Elimination Chamber before that. So he's really only had two singles matches this year. AJ and then a Raw match against Rey Mysterio. He was in the Rumble before that. And then prior to that, he hadn't wrestled since August of last year at SummerSlam, where he lost to LA Knight. I think that this is a wise booking decision to have him work Jay, just because Jay's the rising star. Obviously, Logan's very famous among certain elements of the audience. I don't really dig Paul America and those shows or whatever all that is, or his YouTube channel. I see that on HBO Max all the time. And I'm thinking, like, with all the great television out there right now, who the hell is watching that? But it's always in the top 10, so people are watching it.
The most infuriating thing is how much easier that dumbass show is to find compared to Dynamite.
Yes.
Like, I wasn't able to watch Dynamite until days after the fact, and it legit took me like just 5 minutes to fucking find the show.
They never added to the archive very quickly. Like, you have to search Dynamite to find the most recent one. If you just go to the sports and then click AEW's archive, it's never, the most recent one is never there until like many days later. Just click the organizational button, HBO Max. Is it that hard? So make it a playlist, for God's sakes.
Let me say this as well. I think Logan Paul now is really serving WWE's audience the way that they've gone politically. So, and just kind of the uniformity with UFC, the TKO brand, Logan Paul now is more on brand than he has ever been with World Wrestling Entertainment. So I think maybe they'll capitalize it. You'll see him more, much to our dismay. Mm-hmm. The guy can work, but he's just a very annoying public figure.
Yeah.
I think his work is kind of boring too. It just feels like a generic version of what we see from other guys. I mean, he feels like a kind of a brand X version of Hangman and Will Ospreay. I think his matches are very formulaic in the fact that, he hasn't been doing this very long. It's kind of like, it's a better version of Jade, where you kind of, you see that they're really laying out every aspect of their matches. But I don't enjoy him in the ring or out.
Yeah. I was just going to say, I don't think he really knows how to work to the crowd. Like, when he comes out, he gets heat naturally, But his matches are so choreographed ahead of time still. Like, he can't, I don't think he can really call it in the ring. Mm-mm. So I don't feel like he can take the audience on that roller coaster like a good wrestler can, and kind of like change up the match mid-sequence and really put the crowd over the top. And that's why what I think you're getting at is where it's just a very, he's athletic and he can do the moves, no question about mm-hmm. it. But they come off, it does come off exactly what it is. He's been training for that singular match for weeks at the Performance Center, TV, you know, wherever, because that's what he does. He wrestles once a month when he's around, and that's because it's highly rehearsed. You know, I've said this before on the pod. I don't know that he could wrestle week in and week out right now.
That's been a common theme that I've seen everywhere. I don't think I can argue with that at all. I think it's just the repetition. And then to Justin's point, I mean, he's a hybrid version right now of a mid-2016 Hangman Page and Will Ospreay, the infancy stages of their careers. So mm-hmm. if he were to stick with this and actually learn the craft, learn how to play to the crowd, he could become a fantastic professional wrestler. Again, as much as I hate to say it.
Yeah. All right, real quick, the cage match. Damian Priest taking on Drew McIntyre. Both of these guys, big time fans of. You know, someone mm-hmm. asked here in the chat a second ago, Peter, if we actually like the current WWE product. I mean, some parts of it, I would say. Like, I think listeners of this show, like Peter, you know, who's been a patron, they know that right now, I think overall, all of us kind of lean AEW because it's the work rate promotion. You know, that's what we get into. We acknowledge there are people who watch wrestling for other reasons than us, and we understand the popularity of WWE, and we're gonna cover it. Look, I mean, WWE is what's pulling in numbers right now in the wrestling industry. Certainly, if you want to have a wrestling podcast, you got to cover it. And I do like, their shows are very easy to watch. We've talked about this before, more so Raw than SmackDown. SmackDown's kind of a slog to get through. But there are elements of that show that I do enjoy. And both of these guys, absolutely, I really enjoy both Damian and Drew McIntyre.
Yeah, there are solid workers on both sides of the fence. And they actually pulled off a pretty solid women's title match with Tiffany Stratton and Nia Jax. I watched about 2/3 of it, and I came away quite impressed. So, yeah, I would say the current WWE product right now to me on a scale of 1 to 10 is about a 4.5, 5. They really hit a lull during WrestleMania season. WrestleMania was fine. I think the post-WrestleMania has been a little bit better. They've been able to introduce more people. Stories are starting to pick up the last couple of weeks, so... And again, it doesn't matter what we think because they're just rolling in buku dollars. Mm-hmm. And they're going to continue to do so because they've been spoon-fed the same stuff for 20 years. It's formulaic and it works.
Yeah. Yeah. We know Justin is our most negative towards WWE. Yeah,
I'm staying quiet.
He's just
quiet.
Holding it in right now. He's holding it in. Well, I mean, like, yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I was sorry. I was going to slightly reverse course. You go ahead.
Is it about Damian and Drew?
Yes.
Okay, that's where I was going, so go ahead.
Oh, okay. Who do you guys think needs the win more? Like, because I would think Drew. I mean, I just prefer Drew in general as a professional wrestler, but it seems like he needs it a little bit more badly than Priest does.
I mean, so they set this up. I mean, it goes back several months. Backlash, you know, they fought on it in the crowd, the choke slam through the platform and all of that. You go back to Mania, Drew beat Damian at Mania, so he got the win there. I don't know. I might say Damian needs it more. I mean, it depends where they're going next, obviously, mm-hmm. with these two guys. But, you know, Drew did get the win at Mania. What do you think, Jesse?
See, that's what I'm trying to rack my brain at is who I think one of these guys should ultimately get a title shot on the SmackDown side at John Cena really soon. I think it's a matter of what direction you want to go there. You would be playing, as weird as this is to say, heel if you were to go Cena, Drew McIntyre. Yet there's nothing more, honestly, I would want than Drew McIntyre to take the title off of John Cena.
Right.
Yes. I think that would be awesome. I mean, and the crowd actually, granted, he does a great job playing a heel. The crowd really likes him. So it's just the anti-hero thing again, which has been quite popular the last 10, 15 years. So I think Damian needs it more, yet I would lean Drew McIntyre to take this just because I think you can do a little bit more with him moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, they've been wrestling you know, just looking down the history for a while, you go back to Money in the Bank last year, Damian beat Drew and Seth. That was a triple threat. Clash at the Castle last year, Damian beat Drew. They worked some house show matches last year together. Obviously, let's see, World Heavyweight title, WrestleMania 40, and Punk was out there. So this has been going on a long time with them. I mean, it's been relatively 50-50 when you look at all the wins and losses. So yeah, I think it really just comes down to direction. I wouldn't mind seeing Damian challenge John Cena. It'd be something fresh, you know, getting a fresh match out of Cena while he's back for these last few dates rather than a retread. Certainly much better than him working R-Truth. So, yeah,
we actually talked about this last year, Ryan, when Priest was just starting to get hot as world champion, and then he loses to Gunther. Like, what do you do with him over the course of the next 8 months? Yeah. And can you keep his character relevant? And so far they have. And I think whether it's the pairings with Drew McIntyre sticking with Rhea Ripley for a couple of months and the Judgment Day stuff. So now once this is over, can Damian remain relevant or does he just kind of fall back to the wayside? Yeah. Question to be answered here on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, because Drew is definitely a made man. He's deserved another run as champion for years, as we talked about. You know, I hate using that term deserves. You deserve it, the chance and stuff. But he really does. I mean, this is a guy who made this product watchable during the pandemic when it was highly unwatchable. I feel like people forget about this. WWE during the pandemic was horrible. They did not figure out how to run those empty arena shows for a long time, whereas AEW really excelled at it. Their shows were way more lively during the pandemic era. But Drew's work, you know, like he really helped carry that company. And, you know, he's had some memorable feuds. Obviously, his feud with Punk last year was arguably the best feud in wrestling. But okay. I'd like to see him get that push back towards the top of the card again at some point.
Yeah, I think they'd be doing a disservice if they didn't do it, because they've slowly, they took it away from him seconds after he won at a WrestleMania. I mean, give him something a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's really quick. So we're going to have Money in the Bank coming up then too in a few weeks. And they set up, they've got one female competitor, one male competitor now in the Money in the Bank ladder matches. So they had a triple threat on SmackDown with Alexa Bliss, who's now back. No Wyatt Six still, but they brought her back, taking on Meechan and Chelsea Green. And Alexa prevailed in that match, which I don't know about you, Jesse. I was a little surprised just because, you know, Alexa's been kind of flirting with being back and then away. And we've heard the rumors about her being the new leader of the Wyatt Six, but they've been holding them off of TV, even though apparently Bo Dallas is ready to go. And she just feels like kind of directionless right now when she's on there. So I thought they would go Chelsea Green, who has had the best year of her career over the last 12 months. And yet, you know, Alexa got the win. Maybe they find a way to put Chelsea Green in there still. But I was a little surprised by this. I know Alexa is the biggest name among those three. I just thought creatively, maybe they'd go with Chelsea.
Creatively, they probably should have. Yet when Alexa won, I think she got one of the largest crowd responses that night.
Yeah.
So it just goes to show her popularity. It's just the weirdness that middle of the last four months and where she's been, why she hasn't been on TV, because the crowd kind of is demanding for her at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's a chance she could possibly sneak away with a Money in the Bank win, which would be odd because I think she won it in 2018.
Yep. Yes, indeed. So, and then on the men's side, they also set up Money in the Bank. And this one I was also surprised by, because you look at, Justin and I were talking about this last night. You got Solo Sikoa, Jimmy Uso, and Rey Fénix. And Jeremy and I previewed this on BR on Friday on Wrestling Daily. So Jimmy was obviously out. Jimmy Uso, he ain't going to be in Money in the Bank. It would make no sense. So it was obviously between Solo and Rey Fénix. And, you know, Solo, okay, they've continued to try to make him a thing. He's been getting a little bit more better crowd responses of late. I'm still not a huge fan of him where he's positioned on the card. I don't know that his work has deserved that. Obviously Fatu has just outshined him totally. And now they're building up to this feud where Fatu will go over. So, you know, it's whatever, but you could maybe understand him getting into the match, make an argument, but Rey Fénix is like a no brainer. You think of a Money in the Bank match, this guy who's new to the promotion, who can fly all over the place. they got to find a way to get him in there still, I would hope, because this shocked me. I thought it was nearly a lock that Rey Fénix would win this and get into the Money in the Bank.
Zero arguments for me. I'm just going to say it now on May 18th. What was your favorite Rey Fénix is relevant in WWE moment?
Because it's all over.
See ya. Yeah. I mean, the grass isn't always greener on the other side, good sir. Yeah, solo after what we saw last year. Oh, my heavens. Do we need this again? No.
We've seen Rey Fénix have, like, phenomenal ladder matches in AEW. So, yeah, I am dumbfounded as to why they did not put him in that match, which, you know, they still can, which is just kind of lame that he would have to have a second attempt at it. But
they're going to get him in there somehow with Chad Gable to finally have them back in the ring together after Mania, where he nonsensically lost to El Grande Americano. And they haven't had the rematch since. I mean, probably. I don't know. But that's where we're at on the men's side. So as we get closer to that, we'll start talking about the directions they could go for a winner. I think that match will probably end up having some star power in it. Like, I think Bron Breakker's probably going to be in the match when it comes down to it. But
count me in.
Yeah.
I got to add this in, though. I mean, a shout out to the former co-host of this show, JC Mateo.
Okay. So they called him Jeff Cobb on the broadcast when he debuted, Jesse. When your announced team has already referred to him as Jeff Cobb, why would you change his name? That doesn't make any sense. I don't get it. Where's the
Isn't
continuity,
that where he's
Hunter?
From California? Mateo?
Might be. I'm not sure. JC Mateo.
It'd be like calling me JV Minneapolis.
maybe that's how I'll introduce you from now on. I mean, he's from Hawaii, but I don't know if he lives there, possibly. I don't know.
I think there's a San Mateo, California, if I recall.
Yeah. JC Mateo.
Why?
Jesus,
I mean, like,
Christ Mateo.
Why change his name, but you let Fénix and Penta keep theirs? It's like, I mean, they all have brand recognition. Jeff Cobb has wrestled all over the world. He's a big name.
Yeah.
Wasn't even an Olympian. So you think they could tie that in with the NBC stuff, but God, I don't know. That's a head scratcher.
They totally
2004 Summer Olympics represented Guam. Yes, indeed. Competed in the men's light heavyweight freestyle category.
I would guarantee it's because Jeff Cobb does not sound like a bloodline-ish enough name.
You nailed that one.
Yeah. All right. So that's Saturday night's main event. Next weekend, I'm sure we'll probably be doing like a Monday show next. We haven't talked about it. It's a holiday weekend, so we have Monday off. So I don't know if we'll do a super show where we talk about Saturday night's main event and Double or Nothing. We'll see. But that is WWE Saturday night's main event. Four matches announced so far, and still no sight for Cody Rhodes. Someday.
The best piece of financial advice I've ever received is to pay yourself first. That's why now with every paycheck I receive, I start by putting a little bit away for those rainy days. Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns. Acorns is a financial wellness app that makes it easy to start saving and investing for your future. Acorns lets you get started with the spare money you've got right now, even if all you've got is spare change. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns recommends a diversified portfolio that can help you weather all of the market's ups and downs. Using Acorns, before I knew it, I had a couple thousand dollars in a little nest egg account. Sign up now and join the over 14 million all-time customers who have already saved and invested over $25 billion with Acorns. Head to acorns.com/andysgirls or download the Acorns app to get started. Paid non-client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/andysgirls.
You've created a cool indoor retreat. Now let Mountain Air Comfort Systems provide the quiet and energy-efficient comfort you can depend on. With a range of innovative cooling solutions like the Carrier Infinity Heat Pump that delivers premium home heating and cooling performance. Learn more at mountainairmobile.com. You make it a home. Let Mountain Air Comfort Systems make it more comfortable. Rebates, incentives, and financing are available for a limited time. Mountain Air Comfort Systems and Carrier. Turn to the experts.
All right, let's transition to AEW. So Double or Nothing in Phoenix next Sunday night. Lots of good talking points with this card. I mean, we can just throw it right away to the men's finals. AEW's Owen Hart Foundation Cup Tournament. Hangman Adam Page against Will Ospreay. The winner gets the world title shot, we assume, against Moxley at All in Texas. Just a gigantic match for the trajectory of this promotion over the next several months. Should be an awesome contest. They're going to have probably a match of the year contender, I would imagine. And when it comes down to it, there are good reasons to pick both guys. And I have no idea which direction they're going to go. I'm going to throw to Justin here first. Your thoughts on the match and maybe how you would book the winner of this.
I love the way they've booked this. It's not often where you can get fully invested in a babyface versus babyface match. I'm calling Hangman a babyface, even though he's still coming out of the heel tunnel. The match is going to be great. It's a win-win situation where I am A-okay with either guy going on to face Mox at All In, as long as whoever wins this match beats Mox at All In, which I think is more of a certainty than other people. I can't imagine you put on a huge show like All In, where you're treating this like your WrestleMania, and that would be just a huge turnoff to anybody who would make the venture to Arlington to see this. Or I guess it's not Arlington, is it? That would just be, I think, too much of a bummer to the fan base to have Mox continue on. I think you could do something where Darby maybe helps Mox the title, and Darby can just get his revenge without actually getting the title. As far as who should win the tournament final, it's funny because, like, I would assume that the fan base would be pretty gung-ho for Will Ospreay, but, you know, looking at the timeline on my social media accounts, there is a huge groundswell for Hangman to win this. I think he does have the better character right now, but I think he can take the loss more than Will Ospreay can right now, because Hangman's character is so strong. He can go on to just have feuds with whoever you want. Whereas I think Will Ospreay needs this a little more. And we've brought it up before, the very next show after All In, they're going to London. So why not have the England boy go over there as your newly crowned world champion to show off in front of his countrymen. Mm-hmm.
So stoked for this. Oh, this is going to be one of my favorite matches to watch. I think since Ospreay Danielson last year at Dynasty, you guys were there for that, and that just blew your minds. This one's going to be probably like a step or two below it, but nonetheless, the character investment on both is for the highest it's ever been. And Hangman, as we know, as Justin always eloquently states, he is the main character. He has been this way for a few years. No matter who he gets involved with, the fans are always invested. Whether he's a face, he's a heel, etc. Who would I have win? I think I don't know who I'd have win. I really don't. I would love to have Will Ospreay win this, become the face of the promotion. But you cannot go wrong with, again, your main character winning this, avenging AEW from what Jon Moxley has been doing the last, what are we looking at here, 8 to 9 months when we approach All In. And he's the one that rescues the title away and restores AEW back to its rightful place.
I don't think we actually have this information out there, but I'm just curious as to if you guys had to take a guess, which guy out of Hangman and Ospreay do you think moves the needle more as far as merch and ratings?
My guess is that Hangman sells more merch.
And the
reason is, I don't think Ospreay's merch designs are very good.
I agree with that.
Like, I've been trying to buy Ospreay merch for a while, and, you know, like the Bruv shirt Jesse has is a good simple one, but overall I feel like his designs aren't very good, whereas Hangman has some outstanding designs. I know it was just a month or two ago he had I think it was the Top Rope Tuesday shirt, which I actually ordered, and he was on his Blue Skies page talking about it was like the top selling shirt of the year already, but then he said that the Tony Mariah shirt would probably top that in a week. But so I mean, I know he had the top selling shirt at one point in time. I don't know about collectively. I just think that Hangman's merch designs are better. That's the only reason I would say that.
I mean, I 100% agree with you. I definitely prefer Hangman's merch, but it seems like when I look out into the crowd, I see more of the Bruv stuff than I see the Hangman stuff.
Yeah.
I would have said Ospreay moves more merch, and then Quarter Hours. Looks like Carl says Ospreay. That would be kind of a toss-up. I have no idea.
Yeah, and it's also hard to say now with them being on Max, because you don't really get that data. And I mean, I know a lot of people watch on Max because the picture quality is better.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't watched it on TBS proper in a long time. So.
Which is crazy, because AEW has been still getting the same ratings on TBS ever since they moved to Max.
So you know the audience is bigger for sure now than it was pre-January. And yeah, Peter made a good point in the chat saying Ospreay seemingly starts every episode of Dynamite. Yeah, I mean, that's going to factor into the Quarter Hours being higher, because the lead-in, they get a strong lead-in, and that always, they're always at the highest audience seemingly at the beginning of the show. But you know, I pitched this on the show for a long time, going back to last year, that Hangman should be the guy to beat Moxley. I've been saying that for a long time. And I think that I still think it would have been better to take the title off of Mox months ago and to have had Hangman have done it and then Hangman drop it to Ospreay this summer. Then you could have hit both of them. Now I feel like it's kind of a problem, because if you go forward with Ospreay, it just once again, you know, moves Hangman out of the title picture, where he's probably at kind of peak popularity he's had since 2021 right now. And he does make the most storyline sense to dethrone Moxley easily, just based on the character arc that he's been on. But then at the same time, if you go with him, then you're pushing off Ospreay again. Mm-hmm. And like, how long can you wait on Will Ospreay, who we all think is this difference maker for the promotion long term? So it's really difficult to pick a winner, because both guys have such a strong argument, and it's hard to not think that one of the other guys might get hurt by not winning. I would kind of agree with Justin that maybe Hangman would lose less if he lost the match. Like, you could still take him in other directions and he could recover, maybe more so than Ospreay, who it's felt like he's been right there on the cusp of the main event scene for so long. And every time he gets there, he goes down the card again. And I mean, you know, this has been going on for over a year now. Mm-hmm. And so it might be the time to push him forward, with, you know, the show happening in the UK, Forbidden Door, right after that, a homecoming with the world title. That would be really good stuff. I think they're probably going to go Ospreay, but I wouldn't be surprised if Hangman won.
Ospreay's been linked to Darby Allin in December during the C2, when he said, when this thing's over, I'm going to be joining you side by side trying to take down these Death Riders. And along the way, he's been sidetracked by the Don Callis family. So now that he's available to join into the fight against Moxley and the rest of the Death Riders, you can make a case for him as well to be the guy to do it.
Yeah.
So I feels like, if we're just talking about who we want to see win, it sounds like Ryan wants Hangman. Jesse, who do you want?
I'm biased. I will stick the needle 51% though to Will Ospreay. I do.
I'm pretty 50-50, honestly. It's hard to pick. Yeah, I definitely wanted Hangman to win the title months ago, but now it's just getting to a point where it's tough with both of them right there now.
Justin? Yeah.
You?
I think just as a professional wrestler, I prefer Hangman. But in this current situation, I think I want Will Ospreay to win. He was just such a needed shot in the arm for AEW when he came in. And I don't feel like that momentum has been lost. You know, that whole restore the feeling gimmick that they've been doing. He's really been carrying that. And I do think he has just way more to lose. You know, it's to my earlier point about, you know, Hangman's character being able to take the loss. And he's so interesting that he doesn't need the world title. They're not similar at all in any way, shape, or form, but he's just such like an Undertaker to me. Like, you put him in wherever you need him in a card, and he's going to make it work.
Mm-hmm. I got some great chats here right now that I want to feature. So Carl said, in terms of the question as to who should win, I would go Hangman for purely selfish reasons of not wanting him being sucked into the Bucks vortex. But Ospreay, I think, is the direction Frank says Ospreay lost too many big matches. Got to stop dicking around with him. Hangman has plenty of other stuff he can do if he loses. Mm-hmm. Peter checking in says he has unfinished business with Swerve still. Think they can do a good story about him teaming with Swerve against the Bucks. And then John Hope with the comment that really perked my ears and eyes up when he said, if they did team up Swerve and Hangman, I wouldn't mind seeing Hangman and Swerve against the Hurt Syndicate. Oh, oh hell yes. Injected into my veins.
Oh Hope. God.
Hell yes. I love that idea. Love it. Idea. Love that idea. So
God
much.
Damn. Great call.
Not just that too. I know. I selfishly, I would want Maxwell Jacob Freeman to stay almost as far away as possible from this 2-on-2 scenario.
Yes.
But he has a ton of history with Hangman Page, and I would still, if they can play nice, I would love to see MJF and Swerve get involved in a feud at some point in time down the road. I think that'd be awesome.
Mm-hmm. I think there's some interesting backstage stuff that Swerve and MJF could bring up if they had a war on the mic, because the rumblings were when MJF dropped the title to Samoa Joe, it's because he refused to do it to Swerve because he didn't feel like Swerve was a big enough name yet.
Mm-hmm. DGS22, I would agree with this take. Storyline Hangman, business Ospreay.
Great call.
I think that's Dante.
Is it?
I think.
I don't know. If it is you, Dante, shout out.
Yes. So, hi.
Yes. So, yeah, I mean, we're going to get more clarity on the card this week, obviously, because right now, you know, we're sitting at 5 announced matches. We got that one. Then we got Jamie Hayter and Mercedes in the Women's Owen Hart Cup Final. We'll come back to that here in just a second. I'll just read the rest of the card. We got Hurt Syndicate against Dustin and Sammy Guevara. We've got Tony Storm against Mina Shirakawa, and we got FTR against Daniel Garcia and Nigel McGuinness. Jamie Hayter or Mercedes Moné, who you got, Jesse?
Peter, I got to answer your question from the very beginning. I'm still on the Jamie Hayter train. I think she wins this. I think Mercedes and Athena are destined for All In. I've been saying that. I don't know how they're going to get it done. This is a huge meter mover for Jamie to get the first pinfall win over Mercedes in AEW so far. She did just lose her New Japan Strong women's title the other night too, though, to Mina. She didn't get pinned and wasn't involved in the decision, but it happened. So that domino's starting to fall, almost like Kenny Omega when he was the belt collector. I think this is slowly the slight dissension back to normal for Mercedes Moné.
I'm torn. I think the match that brings people to the stadium, the biggest match they can do for all the belts is Tony Storm versus Mercedes. That's the biggest match they could put on the All-In card. My preference is I want Mercedes and Athena too. Athena's from the area. She's been doing a lot of the promotion. It feels like she deserves a big match. And, you know, would you rather have one huge match or, you know, two slightly lesser but big matches? Mm-hmm. I think would be the big question. So, man, I don't know. This one's a real toss up for me. Hayter does not feel like she's been built up big enough to get this big win over Mercedes, but maybe this is how you do it, is you have her win this big match on a pay-per-view. So I don't know. I'm going to say Mercedes just because I think Mercedes Storm is the big match that you go for, but I don't know.
I lean Mercedes too, but you could really sell it either way. Just like you explained it, Justin, two slightly lesser matches or one really big match. You know, the one really big match potentially affects ticket sales a little bit more. You know, the two women at the top of the heap in AEW right now with Mercedes and Tony, kind of that dream match scenario based on where the company is at right now. But yeah, you imagine Athena would have a big match on this card. You would think, just from being from the area, doing a lot of media. I still lean Mercedes just because of the star power, but I don't know. Again, they've done a really good job with these tournaments because we're now left with two final matches that we have no idea which direction they're going. Mm-hmm. And honestly, there's a good argument in both directions in both matches. So that's pro wrestling at its best to me. It's been booked really solid, and I don't know. I have no idea. I push came to shove, I'm probably taking Mercedes. But I wouldn't be shocked, to Jesse's point, if Jamie Hayter got the win either.
Just the like, other, go ahead, Justin.
I was just going to say, just seeing Storm versus Hayter on the marquee just doesn't feel like a big deal at all right now. Now, granted, they have months to make it a big deal. But yeah, I don't know. I just feel like it's Mercedes.
The other case for Jamie Hayter is, what are people going to be talking about at the end of the All-In card? It's going to be Hangman or Ospreay winning the AEW World Heavyweight mm-hmm. Championship at the end of the day. I don't think it's...
That's true.
And you don't want to render this Tony Mercedes match as... I wouldn't call it useless. I would call it... So you want that on the marquee for another show.
Mm-hmm. Great point.
I think that's another reason why you should go Jamie Hayter here too as well. She had so much popularity. She unfortunately got injured. Fans, I think, are going to gravitate to her at some point. But I think in any other case, you would easily say Mercedes Moné should be the one to win this and take this down. I just think they telegraphed it and they're leading into her and Athena.
You won me over, Jesse. That's a fantastic point. I think you should save Storm and Mercedes to where that actually main events a pay-per-view.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's a great point. Carl says in the chat, Mercedes wins, will beat Tony at All In, thus being forced to vacate the TBS title so she does another non-job. That's not a shot at Mercedes, Carl says. Peter
feels
says,
like a shot.
Athena has been all over the promotion for this card since last year. Can't imagine her not being on it or being in some throwaway match. At the very least, yeah, she'll be on the card for sure. No question about it. Now, last thing I wanted to say about this card is just with the way that they're going to, and I'm talking about Double or Nothing, how they're going to set up the match order. I think Ospreay and Hangman are going to open the show because I think Anarchy in the Arena has to go on last just because of how those matches always go. And I'm going to throw it to you, Justin, on this, because I did not remember, because this came up on my BR show with Jeremy the other day, but I'm going to throw it to you. We were at the best Anarchy in the Arena match, mm-hmm. Double or Nothing 2022. It was not the main event. Do you remember what match followed that match off the top of your head?
Oh, shit. I do not. I did not either
because it's so hard to follow one of these matches. Now, Punk and Hangman main evented that show.
Can I try?
They had Anarchy in the Arena two matches earlier. Yeah.
I'll try. It just comes to me. It might be like a Scorpio Sky, Ethan Page scenario where they threw him in the middle against like Sammy Guevara and someone.
A decent guess. But no, it was a triple threat tag team match for the AEW tag titles. Jurassic Express defending against Swerve in Our Glory and against Team Taz, Powerhouse Hobbs, and Ricky Starks. I barely remember watching it, though. The point of just like, we were so hyped up from that Anarchy in the Arena match that I have very little memory, and I was there of, you know, watching the match. Justin, I mean.
You know, I was almost going to say, I think it's Jurassic Express was in the match, but I that would have been a total guess.
Yeah, so I mean that's going to main event. I mean, obviously it's going to have, you know, a lot of star power to going for it. So, yeah, Anarchy in the Arena I think is going to close the show, and just because of how violent and all over the place it's going to be, I just think it'll be hard to follow. So, if you're not going to have Will Ospreay and Hangman main event, I think you almost have to open with it. It'd be weird to do it in the middle of the show.
What do we think the teams are going to be? Is Gabe Kidd going to be with Mox and the Bucks?
And it sure seems like it, right? What do you think, Jesse?
That was an interesting injection that I didn't expect.
Yeah. Yes, big time.
And how do they balance these teams out? Because are we really going to see one woman on one side and one on the other? Which I love that aspect with seeing Willow and Marina getting involved in this. Oh, that's great.
Yeah,
that's I like that added element. Yeah.
I hadn't thought about that. Yeah, it's because I would say on the men's, or on the kind of the AEW side, Swerve, Kenny, Joe, Hobbs, and then Willow would be five. But then, like, if you think Bucks, Mox, Claudio, Kid, that's already five there. So you'd need to get somebody else on the other side. I don't know. It's a good problem to have, I suppose.
It's the final countdown. He's back. Brian Daniel, doesn't he live in Phoenix? I'm pretty sure he lives there. I know they lived there at one point in time.
Yeah, I don't know if he still does or not.
Yeah, he did at one point in time for sure. Yeah.
Sounds like a Nikki and Brie Bella destination, Arizona, living there. And this is a match.
I doubt it happens, but God, I want to see Brian come back soon.
And I said this a week ago. This is honestly a match I don't want. Anarchy in the Arena. I think that the gimmick's just tired. This is the fourth year in a row of it. And there's a half of it you could see as being justified and relevant, but I would much rather see them in singles and tags have the belt defended on this card. That's me.
Yeah, it's one of those things that's becoming a tradition. None have come close to topping that first one. And then they had Stadium Stampede before that during the pandemic era and all of that. So it's become a tradition. We'll see how it is this year. But I think we got to wrap the show up because it sounds like my kids are having anarchy in the bedroom upstairs. I don't know if that's coming through on the microphone or not, but there's a lot of screaming happening in my house. So
there's a little anarchy in my my living room as well. Not to the severity of yours, though.
So, guys, yeah, if you want more from us, we will be live coming out of next weekend for another flagship, but plenty of podcasts on the Patreon side if you want to support us over there. Sign up for your 7-day free trial. Get access to all those TRN classics. The link is here in the broadcast description. You can get that TRN classics. We just dropped yesterday, I think, Friday released the podcast version, or the video version is available right here on the YouTube page. If you become a YouTube member, you can get video access, video only, to some of our bonus shows, including all of TRN classics. So you can check that out.
Yeah.
That's all I got, boys. Any parting comments?
No, this was fun though. It's been too long. Good to be back. And things are picking up in professional wrestling, and I'm really excited for this summer. It should be a good time.
Agreed. Yeah, I completely agree with you there. And then patrons are going to get paid. Unplugged tomorrow, as always. TikTok live tomorrow as well. Haven't decided if I'm going to go live during Raw or the hour before.
Yeah, if you have TikTok, look us up on there. It's Top Rope Nation Wrestling is the, or probably just search Top Rope Nation, it'll come up. But that page has really been picking up lately, so join us over there for some clips as well. And yes, we will be back real soon. So enjoy what is left of your weekend, everybody. Appreciate everyone who joined us live here on a Sunday morning or on the podcast feeds after the fact. Talk to you all again very soon. Take care, everybody.
Bye.